Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Leon begins to feel the weight, and Julia finally snaps back. It's the Almost Family After Show.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
There it is.
Hey,
guys. Welcome back to the Almost Family After Show. I have a full panel. We're back.
We're all back in action.
The family is back together. Tonight we're getting into Season 1, Episode 5, Risky AF. And like I said earlier, I'm joined by my lovely co-panelists. I have our mystery slash Jean specialist, Miss Bethany Jean.
Bethany Jean.
And we also have our resident Emily Osment fan. We have Miss Jessica Lucero.
Been loving her since the Hannah Montana days. I'm sure you guys can relate to me there.
I know. And I am Princess, just happy to be back with you guys. So, like I said earlier, Leon finally begins to feel the weight of his actions. We also have Julia finally standing up to him. And, of course, Edie is just as confused as she has been since day one. We also have news and gossip, our special segment, predictions. And so, ladies, let's just go ahead and get into tonight's episode.
Let's do it.
What are your overall thoughts?
What a tangled web.
Many.
I mean, the whole situation with Edie and Amanda is so distracting for me, and it's kind of like convoluting all other stories, and it just really bothers me, because I want her to be honest with Tim.
That's exactly where I stand. I'm like, that's great if that's what you want to do, but poor Tim's just sitting there. Yeah. He's, like, asking her, and to be honest...
He's on popular baby names.
Yeah.
I know. He's so committed.
Didn't you guys think that that was, like, slightly unrealistic, though, that he kind of just asked her about, who are you hanging out with, and then he just kind of walked away, though? I was like, come on, Tim.
Yeah. They're in a very confrontational couple.
I don't know.
They are a really arms-reach couple.
Yeah.
They're so arms-reach that when you see her, like, laying down with him, like, snuggled up, you're like, come on, get real.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have so many thoughts on that couple relationship, but let's just go ahead and dive into it. So let's go ahead and start with Edie and just expand on that.
Yes.
So tonight's episode, we saw Edie... She met Amanda's son, which was totally unintentional, and Amanda seemed a little upset, but then there's part of me that's like, I think you wanted her to meet him. I don't know. Then we also have, of course, Tim and Edie.
She didn't even tell her about him, though.
She didn't, but I felt like she could have been a little more distraught if someone happened to accidentally meet the child that you're hiding. I don't know. I wasn't really... Well, you know how I feel about Amanda. I don't trust her.
Yeah.
I feel like she always has something.
There's nothing to be trustworthy.
Exactly. I feel like there's always something up her sleeve. But, I mean, what did you guys think of that moment?
I thought it was great to see the way Edie was interacting with her son. But that moment was definitely weird.
It was weird. Amanda's so weird.
She is.
Honestly.
She's a really, like, guarded person.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing humanizing about her, so to see her in a mothering role was kind of jarring.
Yeah,
definitely. But also humanized her, so I almost, like, liked her more because of it. But I just thought, who is in any romantic relationship and not upfront about being a parent? Like, being a parent is an overwhelming... Right? Aspect in
especially
any
coming from
life.
The like, parent
hide
at our panel.
Yeah,
that's true. She is our resident parent.
That's weird. And it made me think: is she not a very good mom?
Right?
Like, does she not have him much? Like, how has she been hiding that she has a kid? They're with you all the time, guys.
I think it also betrays the trust that she's trying to build in this relationship. She wants Edie to clearly choose her, and she made that very clear later on in the episode. But you're not even being forthcoming about the fact that you are divorced. And not only are you divorced, but you have a child that lives with you, that you raised.
And she said that she even had the perfect window for it. She was like, you know, Edie, lesbians can't get married. They can't have kids. That was her window to be like, just so you know, I've done those things before. I have a son. His name's Lorenzo.
See,
he's
I don't
owls
trust her.
A lot.
You know, I don't trust her.
He does mock trials.
He does mock trials.
He's super cute, by the way.
I Dude, this yeah, whole mock
oh my
trial
gosh,
scene
glasses.
Got
Kitty
me. It was so cute. I object. I was like, oh my God, what that little kid
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that was adorable.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, so going back to Tim. So we finally get to see Tim and Edie confront each other. And clearly, we're kind of on the fence about their relationship, but I will say I really do feel bad for Tim as well. Mm-hmm. I think that he deserves someone who is honest with him and forthcoming. But do you think if she was honest, how do you think that he would respond?
I think he'd probably be like, okay, well, let's work on it.
You think he would?
Yeah, I feel like...
I don't know. I don't think that we know enough about Tim to know how...
We definitely
to even
don't
have a
agree
guess of how he would respond.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the most unfair thing about the whole scenario is that Julia and Tim obviously had a really valid history,
mm-hmm,
and that's something that could have been pursued.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's just one of those scenarios of someone not being loved, but they could have been loved. So
right,
for me, I just feel extra offended for Tim.
And
kind
to
of
that point, I feel like there's so much of Edie's and Amanda backstory that we don't have. I remember in the first episode, I just felt like we jumped into this. Mm-hmm. Is there a history? Did they know each other? Have they always, like, did they have a fling back in the day? I just feel like that's something they could have explored as well.
I don't think so, because in the first episode, remember, she reaches her hand across the table,
mm-hmm,
and it was kind of like, oh, like, she didn't know if the other was gay. You know what I'm
mm-hmm
saying? So there was kind of a moment of them discovering, like, oh, I like you. Oh, are you not gay? Like, they didn't.
Yeah, mm-hmm, right.
They
did
were
you
discovering
guys
each other's sexual orientation in that lunch or dinner date.
Something mm-hmm else I noticed in this episode is that Julia and Edie were finally acting like sisters, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which that was like one of the first times where those two were the ones acting mm-hmm so
well,
close.
I kind of feel like it's hard because I think she blurs the line of what's acceptable for the lawyer. So to hear her say, I don't
yeah
need you to be, you know, I don't want to be your, who was it? Someone, I remember Leon saying to Edie, I don't want you to be my lawyer, I want you to be my daughter.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I remember a moment when Edie was basically saying the same thing to Julia. And it's just kind of like, but you're blurring the lines, especially mm-hmm since Julia called her out on the fact that you're sleeping with our enemy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So for mm-hmm me, it was just kind of like, Edie, you can't continue. You're playing both sides in your relationships. Like, you can't.
Edie's a confusing person.
Very.
She's very confusing to me because she's so guarded and prim and about doing things right. And then she's obviously very confused. Like, please get counseling, Edie.
Yes.
Immediately.
Counseling.
It's funny because she seems so opposite from the woman that raised her.
Oh,
almost
that
like
could
I went
not be
in
more
a total
true
opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom
yeah
is loving and soft, and who knows what she thought of her growing up.
Mm-hmm.
She gets walked all over. She's this. She's too vulnerable. Like, all
right
of these things. And then Edie's like, I'm going to be the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm going to be firm and kind of almost, she's
yeah
kind of callous.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think we should explore, and we have a little bit so far in the season, but I kind of want to see the relationship between her mother and Leon, because let's just go ahead and get into Leon. So we see them hang out together, Genevieve and Leon, and I feel like there's something more to their story. I don't know. They just seemed a little bit too intimate to be friends.
Well, that's always been my prediction. Is
definitely
that
right.
Yeah,
you've been right.
All along, I've been like, I kind of think Genevieve and Leon might have had
a thing.
I kind of think she,
like, that was
Edie
on
might
purpose
have been
with Edie
conceived the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did admit, like, saying, oh, I thought she thought that her donor was anonymous, but it actually was him.
Yeah.
So she did talk about that, but I kind of feel like that doesn't mean
but
that
did
y'all
say,
didn't.
Did she say her father and I?
Her father and I?
When she was talking about learning that she, you know, she thought that she was having an anonymous donor. She just didn't know it was him. Did she say her father and I when we were trying? Did she say that?
I don't remember.
I just remember like kind of missing in that portion. Like, did she say she was a single woman coming in trying to get pregnant, or did she have a partner at the time?
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember hearing that. There's so many storylines.
If you guys know in the live chat, please let us if know. You caught that, it would have been like a one word.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference.
But yeah, it does seem like there's something special they had. I don't know. Jessica, what's your thoughts?
That's just, it seems like it's another thing where I just want to know more of the backstory. I don't, it's like, this is great and all, but we really need to know more of what they were like prior to where we're at now, mm-hmm. for us to really be able to like dive in deeper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that it's interesting seeing Beckley. I can't call him Leon. I don't guess. It just like it doesn't come out right. Yeah, Leon.
Leon.
Good old Leon. No, Dr. Beckley and Edie and her mother. It seems like they're almost like trying to create this family. Each with Dr. Beckley and Edie's mom. They're having their little moments together. And then Dr. Beckley wants Edie to kind of act like his daughter in a way. And then Edie wants Julia to act like her sister. And, like, they're all trying to create this literal almost family. And it's kind of weird to me right now. Like,
yeah.
They don't actually interact like any sort of family. So then when they try and force it, it just feels way too forced to me.
Right. It's kind of the, are you in or are you out?
Yeah,
at least
like,
with Roxy, she's committed. This is my family. Everyone else is.
She's like, this is my gene pool. Hop on in. The
water's fine. Yeah, right. Everyone else is still trying to test the water. So, I mean, I guess that's why they're in and out. But I will say, I do love the fact that Genevieve, I feel like she was the only person who's been able to really help Leon own up to the truth and really call him out on his bluff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was such a cool turn. I'm kind of curious to see how that will play out in the rest of the season, because up until now, I think he's had this complex where he's like, I'm doing good and everyone mm-hmm. should be on board. But I love that she called him out on that. What'd you guys think of that moment?
I thought it was so funny that he was trying to justify, like, didn't I do more good than harm?
Mm-hmm.
What? No, what you did was illegal.
Well, funny, too, is we're watching him become, or at least they're showing this side of him that's less and less narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how boldly narcissistic he was in the beginning?
Yes, indeed.
And we're slowly seeing more of a, just like a softer side of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which has been kind of interesting. I like that she asked him, you know, how much of you was trying to help and how much of you was trying to play God? Because in the beginning, it really felt like he was just trying to play God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of him.
You're just not a fan of Dr. Leon Beckley.
Yeah, that guy.
I thought it was really interesting when Roxy's mom was telling her perspective on him in that situation. And I was like, yeah, wouldn't you feel like that?
Roxy's mom?
Yeah.
Like when she gave her testimony?
Yeah, when she gave her testimony. When she was talking about, like, so I would be in there and he would just leave the room and then he would come back. Like, any woman that went through what she went through would have those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of does make him sound like a monster.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, call yourself a helper. Call yourself, you know, playing God.
Whatever you want.
Call yourself whatever you want. That was happening in his office.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaking
gross.
Testimony.
That's cringy.
Yeah, it's just creepy and, like, seems pervy and weird and very uncomfortable.
Pervy and weird. But again, going back to Genevieve, she doesn't feel. It's one thing where you can't change it, and that's one sort of coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. But I felt like she should feel at least more violated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she loves him.
Yeah,
I think that's
and
it.
I'm not
she
saying,
does.
I don't
for
know
sure.
that she's in love with him, but she loves him enough that whatever he did, she just is like the old soul type.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like forgiving.
She's forgiving.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very
like
forgiving.
She just loves them in spite of it. And I really valued her perspective when she was like, you know, I just wanted Edie. So she didn't even care.
Mm-hmm.
That part, I feel like, completely makes sense. As a mother, that's really all she wanted, you know?
But the difference between her and these other people is he was lying and acting like, hey, I'm using your husband's semen.
For these other women.
For these other women. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they felt deceived and violated and all of these things. In her case, he came to her as a friend and was just straight up like, this isn't working. You have to use an outsourced donor.
But there are other people that I think had anonymous donors. I mean, he's at a clinic, so I'm sure she's not the only
one.
I'm sure we have one.
We haven't seen one yet. So far, all of these kids thought their dad was their dad. You know, so this is the first scenario we've seen. And we don't know anything about Edie's dad. Like, if there was a man in her
that
life
father
that raised
figure.
Her.
Yeah.
That's where I was trying to catch that sentence when she was saying when she was trying to get pregnant. I couldn't hear if she was saying when we, like, there was a man in her life.
Probably. I don't. You know, now that I think about it, the fact that Beckley gave her the scholarship, that was really just him paying for her education.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder, and I think just the way that Edie acts and just the conversations that we've seen between her and Genevieve, I kind of feel like she didn't have a father. Like, I think we've talked about that in the past. I don't
know. That's what they've alluded to. They've alluded to her not having a father.
No father, yeah.
No,
no
father figure.
No father figure, nothing, right.
I don't know. It's incredibly complicated. But, you know, it's not complicated. It's our love for you guys, our fans. Jessica, do you have a message for them?
I do. Guys, we just want to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Oh, that was great. Producer Ryan back there hitting it. He's on point. But in order for us to continue to produce this awesome content that we love to produce for you guys, we do have a little ask. We ask that you go ahead and click subscribe if you guys are watching us on YouTube. Was that a noise that Ryan made, or was that a noise that I made?
So many angels getting their wings right now.
All of these noises, it's amazing. It's so cute. It's like playing along with it perfectly. But yeah, just go ahead and click subscribe. We want you guys to leave some comments. Leave us some comments in the live chat as well. Give us a thumbs up. And if you're listening on the podcast app, make sure to give us 5 stars. Nothing less, please.
Nothing less. All the sound effects.
And thumbs up.
Dude, we're getting every sound effect.
I really enjoy the thumbs ups. I'm not going
to lie. What we needed is that sound effect from Julia's dating app.
Oh my gosh.
What was it?
That I was like the yoo-hoo thing.
Yeah, yes. Like a little wolf whistle.
Come on, Ryan.
I felt so bad for her. Oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing. Also, how old is she that she can't figure out how to turn off the dawn volume?
I know. Like, that part's unrealistic.
But also,
okay.
How old is she that a 38-year-old is old to her?
I thought of that as more of life experience. So let's just go ahead and get into Julia. I have so many thoughts on this young lady. Julia, so I actually understood where she was coming from with that. There was a guy that was interested in me, and he's been divorced, and he had a daughter. And I felt like even though we were close in age, that's so much life experience.
It's a grown-up life. Yeah.
I know. You really are, like, adulting. So I kind of understood where she was coming from. I don't know. What'd you guys think? Especially you, Bethany.
No, I totally get it. I have never dated a single dad. The only child in my life I've ever had has been my own child. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my best friends had kids and stuff, but I just knew I never wanted to date a single dad.
Yeah.
I just felt like whoever that child's mother is, like, that's their mom, and I don't know. I just never felt drawn to it. But now I'm older, and I get it. The older you get, people have lives.
Right,
you can expect to go out on dates with people that have had marriages and children.
Right. It's almost like the more understanding you become the older you get.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being 24, I can't, being in the stage that I'm at right now, I couldn't imagine dating someone with a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old or whatever he said that they were.
And that's big kids, too.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's a funny
thing,
the difference. Because when they're small, they're still really pliable, and, like, there's kind of a mentoring. You can come in and be like, hey, I'm the new person in your life. And then, like, there's that thing. When they're 14 and 16, like, they're raised.
Yep.
They
have
their personalities. They're either going to like you or they're not, and that's probably not going to change.
Right.
You know, or probably not going to change for the better. You know?
Awkward, especially with Julia.
But I think when you can see an older child with the person you're dating, it really gauges how mature that person is. Like, oh, you've been raising someone for 16 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a kid, it's the whole, like, when you see a child age, there's that reflection.
Mm.
Like, that's what 16 years looks like. I've been doing this for this long. It's so weird.
That's crazy. That is heavy.
That is so crazy to think about. Yeah, I can't really see Julia being a motherly figure to a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
I could see her for sure being a motherly figure, a mom or motherly figure, but as far as to a 16-year-old, where she herself, she kind of does seem pretty young still.
I'm guessing she's like 28. That was my
I thought
gauge.
She was in her 30s, but just kind of immature, which I hate to call anyone that, but especially the fact
lashing
that she
in
ran
life
out.
Experience.
Okay, we'll go with that. That's nicer. That's nicer.
I don't know. Is it any nicer?
I don't know. But what do we think of this guy? I actually like him. I thought he was funny.
Incredibly likable.
He seems like he's really into her.
Yeah, I did like him, actually. That's the thing that makes it tough, because yeah. It's like, okay, well, are you willing to take on this role in your life? That's what it really comes down to, because obviously, she's dating for the guy. She's not necessarily dating to take on his entire family. But then if she wants to be with that guy, well, it's going to come with
and
these two
package. Yeah. But it's funny, because you'll see people in the world that maybe are single and don't have kids, and they really like dating people with kids.
Interesting.
Like,
I have
girlfriends, and it's, I think, especially as single people get older, and maybe they start realizing that ship has sailed for them.
Right.
They're like, yeah, I'm probably not going to have kids. I'm however XYZ old. Mm-hmm. They like dating people with
cute.
Kids because it makes them feel like they're leaving an imprint on the world, even if it's
I
not
like
their
that.
Genetics.
That's,
you know?
That's really
wow, that's
cool.
Good to hear.
So for her perspective, I'm like, he's a great guy. From his perspective, mm-hmm. I'm like, no, she's adorable and awesome, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's ready to take on
your
that
kid.
Responsibility.
Right,
role.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, we Maybe. Did see a shift in her this episode. She finally, I mean, she's had many stand-ups to her dad, but I think this was a big one where she basically told him, you need to take the training wheels off. I'm an adult. I'm running this clinic. What did you guys think of that? Do you think that's a shift for her, or do you think it's kind of going to go nowhere? What are your thoughts?
No, I for sure thought it was a shift. Mm-hmm. I think the way she addressed it was different this time.
Mm-hmm. I just like seeing anyone put him in his place.
Yeah, definitely.
Fair in enough. General. Like, I feel a power shift mm-hmm. with these conversations that he's having, and I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
He's, as we've used this term, playing God for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of treated like a God. Think back to that first episode, that opening ceremony episode, when he was being honored. He was just going to leave and go get a steak, and he was just so, you know what I mean?
So arrogant.
Yeah, so ego-driven and really careless of people's feelings. And I think it's been kind of funny.
Yeah,
Michael left.
Like, it's time. It's time that he has
time.
All these people shift. Putting him in his place, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we'll see more shifts. And, I mean, the one person that I thought would shift a little bit more was Roxy. So she's my favorite. I say that every episode. Because I feel like she's just the most honest. But in this episode, we did get to see her have a meltdown a little bit.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, she did see a lot of her old demons, and that's just not fun. But what did you guys think of her and her situation at this new gym, just really quickly?
Just kind of referring to the way that they filmed that pep talk that Julia Needy had to give her, I thought that they did a really good job.
True.
I wanted to mention that. Yeah.
It
with
felt
the
very
white
tribal
lens.
Core, like, yeah, we're all in this together. Yes. And, like, it's our turn to speak
and that's
into your life.
Exactly how you feel when you're going through something like that and you have, like, two people trying to give you this pep
like
talk.
Like, your people, like, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, all right, let's do this.
Tribally. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, we're surrounding you and we're telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm. It had a completely different feel from the rest of the show. I'm curious to see who directed this episode.
That would be great.
I'm gonna look that up, because I feel like this episode had a different feel overall, and just that scene alone and that shot, it is just standalone for the entire
season. Yeah, we haven't
seen
that at all.
Right, so it'll be interesting, but I'm hoping that we do see Roxy and Izzy just kind of rise to the top together. I'm glad that she finally got it together at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are you guys hoping for that relationship, or what do you think is going to happen?
I think that's a part of what's kind of helping Roxy become a little more mature, like we talked about in the beginning of this season, how, you know, Edie might have a little bit more fun, right? Roxy might become a little bit more mature, and I think this is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
She's hanging out with this younger girl, and she's kind of taking on not a motherly figure, but, you know, she's being a respected elder, I guess. We'll say that. She's just kind of being a mentor for this younger girl, Izzy, and I think that's in the long run, helping Roxy out.
Did you guys, this is the thing I kept thinking of about this episode, is this official episode, yes, we saw Roxy meet this girl, but this episode was the first time that these three single, I know Edie's married, but these three girls without children have all had the concept of children.
Children, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All three of them.
Yeah.
So even though we haven't met
lots of kids
this
going
guy's
on.
Children, this 16 and 14-year-old, she's being faced with like, oh, I could have children in my life. Mm-hmm. And then Edie meets Lorenzo.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's kind of a child that's going to be in her life, as well as Roxy.
Yeah, as there's well as baby lots of kids in this episode. Which is cool.
Shifting them. It's making them grow up, I guess, is really what I'm saying. It's shifting a gear where they're becoming more of the adult.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I like that they did that, that they finally introduced all these younger
youngins.
People. These little youngins, yeah.
And it's high time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying they need to be parents themselves, but, like, when you reach the age they're at, I'm thinking they're all roughly 30-ish.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know their age, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's a good age to start kind of having a mentoring relationship.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Was there anything going on in the live chat? Anyone have any statements there?
Nothing crazy yet. We got lots of comments from AfterBuzz TV dramas, so.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
They're tuning in.
Well, you're watching, please feel free to comment and let us know. What do you guys think of all the kids coming into their lives and the maturity that we see? Do you think it'll last or is it just a phase? I'm kind of curious. Well, next up,
we got some news for you guys. There it is. So, guys, I do have some news for you. I found this article that says Almost Family recruits Chicago Med's Jeff Hefner for recurring role. So, we did some research and I'm on IMDb trying to figure out who is he playing, and it's not on the IMDb page for AfterBuzz or for on his IMDb page. But basically, what I think it is he is the coach at the gym that Roxy goes to, and you know, it's the guy that she dated. Is
the
that correct?
Older gentleman?
Think? Yeah, he's a little bit older.
Scandalous.
He's handsome. He's a silver fox. So. Look him up. Let me know if you guys agree with me. But yeah, for any of you Chicago Med fans, that's some good news right there. He's a good-looking fella. He's going to be throughout the rest of this season. We only have, what, 4 more episodes, so.
You're so cute. He's a good-looking fella.
He's a good-looking fella.
Fox. I mean, he did look nice in the show. I'm not going to lie.
And Roxy obviously got, you know, a little flustered and whatnot.
Yes, I'm curious about their relationship. I guess we'll find out more in the future, or their past relationship.
Yeah, come on, guys. We need to know more.
I know. Spill all the tea. Maybe at Thanksgiving next week. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But what I'm excited for is hearing from Bethany over here.
I know. Next up, we have our special segment, DNA Domino.
DNA Domino.
Tonight's episode's going to be really cool, guys. I'm excited. Okay.
They're all cool.
Yes, but tonight.
So, tonight's especially cool.
Two major powerhouses you would have never, ever guessed were related. Hold on to your brains. I'm going to melt them. So, Hillary Clinton revealed on The Ellen Show that she and Madonna are actually related.
That's wild.
Their grandparents 9 generations back. Same grandparents.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know much else about that except for that they are both really strong women. And I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
It's like in their blood.
I wonder if they're like an ancestry kit.
And those of you tuning in on YouTube, you can see the side-by-side of them. And like, I never really thought about. They do actually
look like.
They
could be in a family reunion together.
For sure.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know.
It's interesting because Madonna's Italian.
I'm trying to think Italian. Of how she used to look. Yeah, she used to look very Italian with the dark hair.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
And I don't know what Hillary Rodham is. What's Rodham?
I thought that was just her middle name.
That would be her maiden name, I believe, yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I'm kind of curious to find out, did they always know, or if they did one of those, like, Ancestry.com
kits?
Well,
you know, there was that show that was on for a while. Is it Who Do You Think You Are?
Oh.
Do you guys remember that show?
Yes.
I hope I'm not
saying
that wrong.
I think it was PBS or something, right?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. It was so cool and almost eerie. It was heavy. I love DNA stuff, so I loved it so much, but basically they would pick a celebrity and dive deep into their family tree and discover crazy things. Really, ooh, really crazy things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they're revealing it live, you know, not live, but they're on revealing TV. It on air. Yeah. So you're watching
the
actor or actress or whoever it is learn about their family lineage, and it's pretty mind-blowing.
Those are, like, the fun facts that you can share when it's your, like, first day of school or first day at a new job or whatever.
I can't think. Who is, I can't think of the actress, the redhead Miranda from Sex and the City?
I don't watch Sex and
the City. I never watched it.
I don't know why her name is escaping me right now. Hers made me cry.
Really?
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you about it when we're not on air. Okay. Yeah, it was insane.
Fair enough. I'm going to have to look it up. I never watched it.
The story to tell. Yeah, it's really cool. And then they take people to their, like, homeland.
So, oh, that's like, awesome.
We're in France. This was your family's.
You know, it's funny to think about because, like, none of us really know where we're originally from because I feel like so many of us are mutts in a way at this point, you know? Yeah. Like, we're so deep into this. That would be interesting to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes it's surprising.
It's incredibly like complicated,
though. We saw some
though.
Things in our family map DNA that was not in line with our family folklore.
Exactly. Like, it's very complicated. You just never know who was untruthful or who played something that they weren't, especially within the African-American community. It gets really messy. Like, Beckley babies is one issue, but there's so many things I could...
That's interesting. Something really cool, too, about DNA that I just learned in this last year or two is what percentage of origin you get can vary sibling to sibling. So you can the same recipe. Mm-hmm. Like, my sister and I, Charity, are the same recipe. Mm-hmm. But why is Charity brunette and her eyes are hazel? And why am I a blonde and mine are, like, blue-green? Well, Charity has more probably French in her, and I have more Scottish. Yeah, or something.
That's fascinating.
It is interesting.
It is
to learn
really
about.
Cool.
Well, thank you for sharing. This is really like I'm into DNA. I feel like we can talk about it, and
right,
I'm going to give you guys the
that's
scoop
why we're on the show.
I know exactly. But let's go ahead and get into predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I feel like we kind of weave it in and out throughout the show, but let's just go ahead and dive right in. So, let's do it this way. How about we just give a prediction for each sister? Let's do it that
way. For each one? That's a lot. I have one for sure for Julia. I think that she's probably going to meet that guy's kid. Did we get his name?
No, not yet.
Okay, so we don't think we got his name. But I think she's most likely going to be introduced to his kids this next week. And so we'll see what that interaction is like.
I would love that.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think that will be fun. Kids. What about you?
So my prediction is revolving around Roxy, and it's kind of dark, and I apologize. I always have
don't
such
apologize.
Dark predictions.
It's okay.
Like, what is wrong with me? Have a happy
not
one.
Not everything has to be light. It's okay.
My first gut when we met Nick, the coach, is I suspect he was older and had an inappropriate relationship with her, and I
definitely
think he might have, like, molested her or something, and then as she got older it was a real relationship, but I just suspect that there was an abusive
kind of
mentor
that's
relationship
so bad
there.
It I could see be her being
which is
really
why she was so rocked.
Yeah,
and then I think he probably did the same thing to the other girl, but then he ended up as they grew up as gymnasts and they became old enough to formally date, maybe he chose the other girl.
Right, and that could
but
definitely
maybe that
be
really stuck with her.
That is literally what happened to all of those gymnasts, like those, you know, Olympian gymnasts, wasn't with a coach, but it was with the doctor, the I can't
I
remember his exact qualifications.
That was one of those gymnasts.
Yeah, and it happens, and so you know, I wouldn't be shocked because this show is not necessarily based on what happened with many doctors, but it relates back to that. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, there's a ton of inappropriate relationships between coaches and young girls.
Definitely,
in general, there just are like historically a ton.
I can totally see that being the case and even that affecting her psyche and just her how she sees Leon. Because sometimes what happens at that stage in your life, you get molested, and if you don't get the appropriate counseling, it can show up in other ways. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know. I agree with you on that one. That's a really good one.
We know that she lived at the gym. We know, like, gymnastics was her life to the point that mm-hmm. she feels very detached from her parents.
Yeah.
So if she had a coach that maybe had an inappropriate romantic scenario, it would just kind of make sense that she would have that kind of Stockholm-like love for him.
Right. Well, speaking of inappropriate relationships, I'm going to get into Edie. Okay. I thought she made a decision by going to Amanda's place, but then she's still not being honest with Tim. So I think we're just going to continue to see more confusion. I think that she at some point is going to tell Tim that she loves him, and we're going to all be sitting in the chair confused once again. But I do think that Tim is going to discover what's going on between her and Amanda, and she's going to have to face her truth. And I feel like we probably wouldn't see that until the second season. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little ways out, but it's starting to crack and haunt her. But that is all for our predictions, and that is all for this episode. Ladies, where can we find you on social media?
Would you like to go first?
Sure. Hey, guys, you can find me at Bethany Jean Official on Instagram. That's Bethany with an I-E. And little silly self-plug, I wrote my first children's book, and it came out this week. So it's for purchase if you guys want to find it. It's in my bio. It's called A Horse Says Nay, But a Unicorn Says Yay. A book about believing in yourself.
That's so precious. I do not have a book that you guys can purchase, but you can follow me at Twitter and Instagram at JessLuceraLive.
And I'm Princess Carol. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at PrincessCTV. I'm also on quite a few after shows that are related to Christmas. I'm on the Christmas 24/7 network, so be sure to check that out. Otherwise, we'll see you guys not next week. We're closed, but the week after that, we will get into the next few episodes. So see you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. See
We're
you in 2 weeks.
For you.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.